people ask me about my story and how I got to where I am today. And so I'm going to share it with you and get real about what's been my journey to get me from, you know, where I was to where I am today. And I'm going to start back in the beginning and give you a little history about me, just briefly. You know, I grew up in New York, lived there till I was 17. We moved around a lot. I'm one of three girls. I'm the middle sister. I had a mom and dad who were married, but they struggled in their relationship. I didn't witness a whole lot of loving experience. I remember that at 24 years old, my parents had separated and finally decided for the final time they were going to divorce. They really loved each other, but they just couldn't live together. And at 24 years old, my father told me that he loved me for the first time. And what a powerful impact that had on me. I remember where I was standing in my bedroom apartment in my place in Venice, California, and talk about having a profound effect that to this day that still has impact on me. I know he loved me, but I never heard those words before. And so the lesson I got in that experience was understanding his perspective, how big that moment was for him, and how little love he probably had witnessed in his life, and how few times he had ever heard the words, "I love you." And I do have to say, I have heard those words from him every day ever since. It was a transformational moment for him, which was a lesson for me. I learned from that example by him. And so that's sort of the relationship they had. Then we moved from California to New York the summer before my senior year of high school. And that was an extremely traumatic emotion for me and time for me because I had to leave behind what I considered to be an amazing life. I was popular, I had a boyfriend I loved, I was, you know, really involved, I was student council, I was up for homecoming queen, and I was plucked out of that environment and put in a new environment in a world where I moved to Encino, California. There was wealth all around me. Now, I grew up in a small town on Long Island, and we were middle class, but I felt rich. I felt like there wasn't anything I ever wanted. And then I was exposed to a world where there was a lot of money around me, and it really created some money issue hangups for me, to be honest. That's where I discovered my lack of wealth issues, like lack of value issues. So that was a lesson for me in uncovering that, feeling like I wasn't good enough, I wasn't worthy. So that's an issue that I know a lot of you out there have, but I'm going to show you down the road with my tools how you can unlock that, because that's a biggie for a lot of us. And so that year, another lesson for me was being open to newness, because in that experience, I didn't want to leave behind that life. That life was nice. It was comfortable. It was easy. I had it all figured out. And now I had to stretch myself and create new friendships and relationships and, you know, learn a lot about things I initially wasn't interested in. I mean, honestly, I made life for my parents that year pretty difficult because it was not something that I wanted to do. But in the end, I ended up making great friendships. In fact, two of my best friends, who we've all stood up in each other's weddings, were women that I met that senior year of high school. So I definitely looked for and found the gift in that, and I'm friends with those women till this day. So a little bit more about my story is, after I graduated high school, I went off to college for a year, and I found that college was not for me. I went through 1 year. I was sick a lot that year. I spent 3 weeks in and out of the health center. I suffered pneumonia that year, and it was a tough year for me. So when I came home, I had decided that that was not the path that I was going to take. I took a different path, thinking, I want to be a court reporter because I heard court reporters make a lot of money. That was the sizzle for me. And I ended up getting a temp job because I took a lot of clerical classes at school and I was good at that and I excelled at that. So I applied for a temp job and ended up getting a job at an advertising agency in LA. So for 2 weeks over the summer after my freshman year of college, and that job ended up being a career for me. They offered me a full-time position, and they offered me, I remember at the time, $13,000 a year, and I thought it was $1 million. It may as well have been back in the day. And so I decided to take that job, not return to college, and I took some classes at night to become a court reporter. And so while I got in advertising, going to school full-time, I realized that court reporting was not for me. I did not have the personality to sit behind a machine all day and be quiet and take down dictation of what other people were saying. So I explored my options in the agency, and I thought, I got a foot in the door here. How can I maximize this opportunity? I'm not going back to college. You know, what could I do for myself? So I pursued media, and it sent me down this path to being in advertising and media. So I did that for about 8 years, and along that path discovered I am sitting on the wrong side of the desk. This is, again, behind, you know, the court reporting wasn't right, and now the media side of the desk wasn't right, the buying side of the desk wasn't right. I want to be on the sales side. They're making a lot more money, they're working way less than I am, and they're having a lot more fun. So I decided in that moment that I wanted to pursue a sales position at some point in time. And there were two companies that I wanted to work at, and they were Group W and ABC. At some point, I'm going to work at those companies. That was the goal that I set for myself. So time was moving along, and then I met my husband, who lived in Chicago, and we ended up dating for back and forth, doing a long distance thing from LA to Chicago for 2.5 years, back and forth, until we decided that I would be the one to move to Chicago. I left my job and my family and the career path that I was on for a man. I left for love, and I know some of you out there have done that too. But it was a blessing in disguise, because 3 months after I left and quit that amazing job, the agency ended up losing several of their major accounts, and 6 months later, the entire media department was let go. So that was great hindsight, 2020. So that was another lesson of me taking a leap of faith. I decided that, you know, this is what I wanted. I wanted this man, I wanted marriage, I wanted a life, I wanted children, and so I put that first, and that priority first. So I did that. So when I moved to Chicago, that's when I made the commitment to get into sales, and I hustled, and I hit the streets, and I went to every TV station in town, every radio station in town, and every rep firm in town, and I hit it really hard. And it took me about 3 months, but I did land a job at a company called Telerep, and it was a grind, and it was tough, but it gave me amazing sales skill sets. So I got into sales when I moved to Chicago, and it was a hustle, and I hit the streets, and I went to every TV and radio station in town, and I interviewed with every manager in town at every rep firm. And I did end up getting a job, and it was through my perseverance and my commitment to it that I landed a job at a company called Telerep. And so I spent 2 years working there, getting my skills and building relationships and learning the business, until one day I got a phone call from the manager at Group W, which was one of the places that I wanted to work, telling me she had heard amazing things about me in town. She had an opening. She was leaving and a new manager was coming in, but she wanted me to come in and interview for the job. So I went in, interviewed for the job, and got the job. So I ended up working at one of the places that I said that I wanted to, which was the power of manifestation. I had set that goal years and years before, and here it was coming to fruition. So I worked at Group W, and then Group W and CBS merged. We worked there for a few years, and I didn't really like the dynamic of what was going on with the company. And I was there for about 6 weeks, and I got a phone call from ABC. And ABC called, one of the reps there called and said, "We have an opening, and I told my manager about you, and I think you should come and talk to him about the job." So I immediately went into action, called the manager right away, went in, and through a short interviewing process, ended up getting the job at ABC. So the two places I said that I wanted to work, I ended up working at. So that's the power of manifestation. That's the power of your word. So you need to watch your words, because what you say will come into your life. You will manifest it into your life. So it was manifesting then, and I didn't even know then what manifestation was, but I was doing it. So let me talk about my marriage. So my ex and I got married back in the 90s, and things were good initially. You know, when you're at that time in your life, you're excited about the wedding, and it's all about the wedding and the planning and the doing and the day, and it's not really about the marriage. And I know a lot of you can relate to me about that. You know, we spend so much time focused on the day, but not about what the actual marriage is going to look like. And I spent a lot of that time in that marriage, you know, thinking, oh, things will get better. You know, well, just when we get through the wedding day, you know, things are going to get better. And then just when we move, you know, when we find where we're going to live, things will get better. And when we have kids, things will get better. And things were not getting better. They were, you know, cycling up and down. And there were moments of the marriage that were okay, but there were a lot of dark, dark moments. And I just kept telling myself, well, it'll get better. But it wasn't getting better. So when my ex-husband and I decided that we were going to start trying to have a family, we had difficulty. And I think part of the difficulty was he really didn't want kids. He was doing this for me. And so I went through fertility issues. And at the same time that I was going through fertility issues, my mom was sick and dying of cancer. So I went through one of the darkest times in my life. I was flying back and forth to LA, helping my sister and my dad deal with my mom, taking her to and from appointments and dealing with chemo. And meanwhile, I was flying back and squeezing in procedures and ultrasounds and surgeries for my infertility, and all of this was going on at the same time. Also, while I switched my career from working at CBS to ABC. So I had the trifecta going on all at once, and I just didn't know which way was up, and I was just sort of in zombie mode, just functioning through each day, just getting through each day, and wanting these things so badly in my life. So I had to decide something had to give. So I wanted to have children. I wanted my mother to see me as a mother. It was something that was really important to me. But I guess God had other plans, because my mom ended up passing away in October of 1996, and I ended up getting pregnant the very next month. So I think part of that was her being my angel and putting the first order of business up there being, you give my daughter a baby. So that was a blessing in disguise, and I see that the gift of me getting pregnant right after my mom passed away was a gift, because I was grieving her loss so badly. So this was giving me something to have hope for. So I ended up having twins 9 months later, and that path was a journey. So not only did I struggle conceiving these twins, I struggled during the pregnancy of these twins with being put on bed rest at 30 weeks and the doctors hoping you just have to get to 32 weeks. Well, 32 weeks came and went, and then 33 weeks came and went, and 34 weeks, 35, 36, 37, 38 weeks, 39 weeks. I ended up going full term with these twins, and then I ended up having to be induced, if you can believe that, after all of that. But then God blessed me with two healthy babies, a boy and a girl. So during the baby years and toddler years, that time was all a blur. As if any of you out there, mothers, can relate to this, you know that time is just all about them. You're lucky if you get a shower in that day. Well, that's what my life looked like. And so I did my best to organize, get committed, get organized, and raise these twins in a way that was going to allow me to have some normalcy in my life. So I put some schedules in place to keep them on a schedule, keep me on a schedule. But the times with my ex and I mean, our relationship was struggling as it was, but it really got put on the back burner during that time. I mean, life became about our kids, and I know this happens a lot. I talk to a lot of people who say they, you know, their whole lives is wrapped up in their kids. Their kids are in their bed at night, you know, everything is all about their kids, and their relationships suffer greatly because of it. So I can relate because I had one of those situations where, you know, we had two kids in our bed. So it was a struggle at that time to keep any sense of passion or intimacy in our relationship. So as the years went on, more and more of our life just became friendly. Our marriage, our relationship was just a friendship, and it was all about our children, and everything we did was to the outside world looked rosy and happy, and we looked like we had the perfect life, you know, the husband, wife, the son, the daughter, the two dogs, everything looked rosy and beautiful. But on the inside, it was imploding, and I was dying more and more and more every day. I completely lost my sense of femininity, of sexiness, of passion, of drive. I looked in the mirror, I looked old, I was heavy, I was losing my shape, I lost my passion for it. Honestly, I didn't care. My love life and my passion was put on the back burner, and I was putting me on the back burner. And it got to the point where I just couldn't take it anymore. And as my soul and my spirit chipped away, moment by moment by moment, day by day by day, I found myself in the bathroom one day, one night. It ended up being a typical day as usual, you know, business as usual, taking care of the kids. We went over to some friend's house for a barbecue. There were several families there. Everything looked perfect on the outside. But as soon as we left, you know, the fighting ensued, and I just didn't feel any love or support or nurturing from my spouse. And I went in the bathroom and I locked the door, and I grabbed two bottles of pills and I had them in my hand, and I was going to end my life because I just couldn't take the pain anymore. I couldn't live another day like that. And something much greater than me knocked those pills out of my hand, and a voice whispered in my ear, "Oh no, Diane, you are not ending it this way. This is not the end of your story. You have so much more to do. You need to help yourself, and you need to help others." And so I took a breath, wiped my tears, and said, "Okay, show me the way." Cleaned up the mess, took all the pills, flushed them down the toilet, composed myself, went outside, hugged my children, kissed them, said goodnight to them, and I woke up the next day and said, "I am changing my life. I have got to get help." I called a therapist and said, "I need help." I reached out. I finally said, "I can't do this alone. I have got to do something. I have got to get some help." So my counselor and I worked hard on some of the issues. We were building up my strength for me to prepare on how I was going to live a life the fear of the unknown. How was I going to live a life on my own? I didn't know how to do that. You know, it'd been years and years since I had done that. So how was I going to, you know, support myself financially? How were the kids going to adapt? What was this going to look like? There were all these unknown elements, and honestly, so much fear. I was so afraid of what the outside world was going to think. What were my family and friends going to think? Who was going to judge me? You know, to everybody, we looked like we had this perfect family. And I had tried and tried and tried to make things work with this man. And I know there were parts of him that tried too, but I just couldn't do it anymore. So here's where it gets real. I kept stalling. I kept delaying. Why was I pausing? What was I afraid of? You know, why couldn't I just take that leap? You know, I wanted to take the leap. I had taken leaps in the past. I knew how to take leaps. I knew the net would always be there. Why couldn't I take this leap? And the whispers kept getting louder and louder and louder until one day I discovered my ex having an affair. It was the Saturday after Thanksgiving. My daughter and I were home decorating the house for Christmas. I looked for an extension cord and I couldn't find one. Downstairs, I looked in the garage. I looked all over for an extension cord and went downstairs. I looked in the garage. I finally went up to my husband's office to see if he had one in there. And I discovered what every woman doesn't want to discover. And there were signs everywhere of an affair. There was a perfume bottle that was clearly not mine. There were pictures. There were emails. There were notes. I mean, it was all exposed right there. It was as if it was calling me like a beacon and shouting, come look over here. And in many ways, I feel like he wanted to be caught too. Well, my heart sunk. I couldn't breathe. Here is my daughter downstairs waiting for me to do this beautiful tradition we had for years, this wonderful holiday traditions. We had created all these wonderful traditions over the life, and I can't get out of the chair. I could not move. I couldn't breathe. But I had to pull it together. So I did. I pulled it together, went downstairs with her, ended up taking her to a friend's house, and now I'm in the car by myself, and I lose it. I call my therapist to reach for help and I can't get her on the phone. It's a holiday weekend. I call my sisters to reach out for help. They're with family. It's a holiday weekend. So I have this huge revelation, this huge uncovering, this huge aha. Here it is, slapped in your face in front of me, and I have no one to turn to. So I turned to myself and said, well, here it is. And what the gift in all of this was I was enraged. I was pissed. This was the final straw I needed to cut the cord and release myself from any attachment to this man. We were done. And I was going to see an attorney first thing Monday to do something about it. I had this gift from God that released me. I needed to get to that place of anger so that I could cut it. And if any of you have ever been there, you know that feeling. You need that push over the edge. And that was the push that I needed. And that was an empowering moment for me. And it set me on this path of, don't get me wrong, it was ugly, it was hard, it was brutal, there was denial from him. I had all the proof in the world. This had been going on for years. It was all right there, and I still got denial from him. I was still not receiving anything from him in terms of trust. And so I took care of me. That was an empowering moment to take care of me, and that's what set me on the path of, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, I can take care of me. So one of the first things you have to do when you realize this is, now I got to tell people. I have to tell the world my story. I have to tell them this perfect marriage isn't so perfect. I'm leaving my husband. And so that's the hardest part, getting those words out and telling people. The gift in that was the tremendous amount of support. Here's the reality. The more honest and upfront and vulnerable and raw and authentic you are with your story, the more people can't talk about you. There's no gossip. There's none of that. You're being yourself, and people embrace that. People want to help you. They want to be there for you. So that was a very enlightening moment for me, and that helped me and supported me so much on my path to living a life without my husband, no longer being a Mrs. You know, what does that life look like? What does that life feel like? And that was a tremendous gift to me and an aid to me. So once I was on my own and now living with my children part-time and then living with their dad part-time, I did some deep, deep digging. I did a lot of work, and this was a time where I spent so much time reading every book I can on personal development and spiritual growth and empowerment and watching everything I could and listening to all I could. And I decided this was my time to educate myself on learning, where did I fall short? What was I doing that contributed to the demise of that relationship? Because let's face it, yes, there was there was deception and betrayal and a breach of trust and many of those things, but I was an enabler. I was enabling this. I was allowing this. Why would I let myself be treated that way or not treated that way? And what deep issues did I have to uncover so that I wouldn't repeat that pattern? I didn't want to invite that sort of relationship in my life again. I wanted to live a life much richer than that. I want a beautiful, romantic, intimate relationship. I want fulfilling relationships in all areas of my life. I want happiness in all areas of my life. I want fulfillment in my career and family and love and relationships everywhere. So where was the issue with me? And that's where I've done all of this work and all of this research into I Have Today. That's where I discovered I Have Today. I woke up one day with that mantra in my head, and I got it down on paper and said to myself, this is something I have today. This is my calling. I am supposed to make people feel good. I am supposed to serve people and give them their passion and purpose and their smile back. I'm going to find mine, and I have today to do it. So that's where all of this came to be. That's what empowered me. And I realized the past is irrelevant. Let me heal it in the best, quickest, most effective, permanent way possible so that I can move on with my life and live the life of my dreams. And I'm at the place right now where I am living the life of my dreams. I went from living in this unhappy, unhealthy relationship where I was unfulfilled and unhappy, living it all for my kids, dreading each day. I would literally put my feet on the floor and be tired and exhausted and go, oh, another day to get through, you know, living for the weekend, you know, never living in the present moment, to where I am impassioned every day, my feet hit the floor and I am excited. I throw my arms in the air. I shout, I love my life, I love my life, I love my life. Yes, yes, yes. What miracles are open to me today? Bring it on. I love the uncertainty of life. And I am living this empowered life. I manifested this amazing life. I went from living in Chicago to in a house that I lived in for 20 years, where my kids grew up, to selling that house, quitting my corporate job, getting rid of all my belongings, literally moving to California. I live at the beach. I look at the ocean every single day. I get to see the sunset every single night. I work for myself. I am building empires. I am creating amazing, wonderful products for the kitchen that are beautiful and they're brilliantly designed. They are multifunctional. They are high quality and they're designed to last for generations and bring that spirit of happiness and family into the homes and into the kitchens again. I am also creating this empire, this movement to empower people to live the most incredible life that they can live, to do what I'm doing. But the way I've done it is I've done all the hard work. You know, follow me, follow my example, because I'm making it easy for you. You're going to be able to do this easily with my 3-step process that's going to do it for you in 90 days. You can do it longer if you need a little bit longer to do it, but I promise you, your life is going to unfold in ways that you could never imagine in 90 short days. Let me guide you on this journey. Let's do this together. Let's become community together. Let's become tribe together. Let's support one another. I am here for you. I am happy to share this story with you and my journey, because we all have hurdles. We all have stuff. That's just part of our path. I mean, we're here and it's not all good and it's not all pretty, but it could be so much better. And the dark days and the negativity and the stuff that brings us down doesn't have to be who we are. We can easily turn that around to be impassioned, enlightened women and people in general. And what we want to do is we want to do that in a way that serves us, and by serving us, it serves others, and we empower others by our example, by showing our light, by our passion lighting up as we enter a room, by our purpose being what drives us, and by our smile, which gives us our energy and our life. We truly can't serve others until we take care of ourselves. It's like being on the airplane. The oxygen mask, they tell you right away to, you know, put your mask on before you help anybody else. There's truth to that statement. We can't do for others until we take care of ourselves. We've got to be healthy physically, emotionally, mentally, financially, in our relationships. We serve others when we ourselves are taken care of. And I'll give you an example of that. I mean, I really didn't start serving others until I took care of me. Yes, did I take care of my kids? Yes, did I do my family obligations? Yes, did I do my job, you know, to the level that I could do it at the time? You know, I put in what I needed to. It wasn't impassioned or enlightened or anything like that. But until I really started taking care of myself and listening to me and doing for me and nurturing my mind, nurturing my body and my spirit, and focusing on what my needs were and how to take care of me fully and completely, I started serving others. Initially, it wasn't any grand way. It was just in what I was doing and how I was showing up. I was just looking better and speaking better and, you know, offering advice in a very effortless way because I had done all this work and I read all these things and learned all these techniques. And so my path to helping myself was having this ripple effect on those around me. And I was actually finding I had more time in my life, not less time. I was doing more for me. I was literally being selfish in a really good way. And I actually created more time in my life. I had time to do the things that I wanted to do. I could take care of my obligations, but I was also taking care of me easily and effortlessly. And I know that's a big thing. Time is such a big thing for us. You know, we feel like there's not enough time. And wouldn't it be great if you managed time instead of time managing you? That was one of the things that I learned on this path. So I want to close with offering you this. Here's one thing you can do today to set you on this path of self-discovery and nurturing yourself and living the kind of life that you really want to live. That's full of passion and purpose and creating your smile. I want you to take time out, not much, 20 minutes, an hour maybe, grab yourself a cup of coffee or tea, but go sit somewhere quietly. And I want you to write out your life, what your life looks like in your mind, the way you want it to look like. What do you look like in that life? What does your family look like? What does your career look like? What do your relationships look like? What does your surroundings look like? Your home, your car, your spare time. Are you vacationing and traveling? What are you doing for fun? Are you exercising or playing a sport? You know, every intricate detail. Make it as beautiful and as expansive as you want it to be. Go big. Dream the beautiful life that you desire and you deserve. And I want you to sit and in that moment, when you're finished with it, put it in a place where you can read that every night before you go to bed for a week. Just do this for a week. Start there. We're going to get the momentum going. We're just going to start with this one small task. So as you're entering your dream state, you're going into sleep, into that place where you're at a highly elevated level in envisioning your life as you want it to be. Not how it is, but how you want it to be. And that's just going to expand you. And you're going to wake up feeling better, I promise you. So do that for a week, and I'll see you soon.